told that we have another special.
Coming again, coming.
is surely the great hope that we have today. Jesus is coming again. As we have noted, this communion service looks both backward and forward. You do it in remembrance of me. And then he mentions his coming again. Let's turn this morning to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's go down to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And this is just an established fact with the Apostle Paul, and of course with the Scripture and with reality. And so now is Christ risen from the dead. And I want to notice that with one stroke of the pen, the Apostle Paul completely annihilates 9 very negative things that would be true if it were not for the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And so if you'll go down to verse 13, and Paul is talking about the different things that would be true if there be no resurrection of the dead. Can't find my notes here. Well, let's just read these verses. Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, notice the things that the Apostle Paul says would be true if Christ is not risen from the dead. Our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And I want to stop here just a moment, just to emphasize the fact there are people who take this verse to mean that you see there your faith can be vain. A believer can actually lose his salvation and go to hell. They do not consider the context of it. Paul is not talking about any of our conduct, good or bad. He's talking about this in relation to the resurrection. He says if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. If there's no resurrection, your faith is vain. And that's absolutely true, because our faith depends on the fact that Jesus was raised up from the dead in newness of life and given us victory over sin and unrighteousness and all ungodliness. So if Christ be not raised from the dead, your faith is vain. Notice further, you're yet in your sins. You don't have any righteousness at all. You are yet living in your sin. Verse 18. Notice more. They also which are fallen asleep. And again, we must emphasize that the falling asleep is not referring to a sinner, because a sinner is always said to be dead in trespasses and sins. Only Christians, only believers fall asleep, and that can be in more ways than one. For they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, here he says, like they've fallen asleep in death, they're perished. They're gone. There's no hope for them. There's no coming back if there be no resurrection of the dead. Then he adds this one. If in this life only we have in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And I've heard some say, well, that certainly isn't true of me. I'm not most miserable. I have life in Christ. But notice the time in which Paul said this. He's talking about if there's no hope beyond the grave, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, if there's nothing after we leave, then yes, we are most men, most miserable. And so if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But then he comes to this glorious 20th verse, where we find here the tremendous news, but now is Christ risen from the dead? And he lists it as an unequivocal fact, and indeed it is. Notice beyond that, he's become the first fruit of them that slept. The first fruit means that there is going to be fruit following, and that is us. The resurrection of Christ is a guarantee of our own resurrection. And so we rejoice in what God has done, what God has completed here. And so he's become the first fruit of them that slept. Notice verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And so by man, that is Adam, and he's called the first Adam, Christ called the second Adam. If by man come death, and it did, by man come also the resurrection. And that's absolutely the truth. Jesus came down from heaven. He took the place of the first Adam. He died for the sins of all humanity. He died for all mankind. He nailed the law to the cross. So many things that Jesus did there on the cross of Calvary. But then he also is the man that was raised from the dead. I want to go back to the first verse of 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to follow this down just a little bit this morning. And I want to notice how Paul arrived, or how he came to this conclusion. He lists these things that were against resurrection, but let's consider this just from the first verse. Verse 1, chapter 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Paul's message always centered around the gospel, in around the scripture. It was not his opinion or the way he thought it should be or things of this nature. There are people that do that in our world, but the Apostle Paul did not establish that pattern, and we have to follow the same pattern. We must base what we believe, we must base our conduct, and we must base our thinking on the Word of God. And that's what Paul did. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. It was, of course, and is the gospel of divine grace. It is very much contrary to the law, which the Jews knew so well, and which they preached, and which they actually gloried in. They didn't really realize that the law was a message of condemnation. But nevertheless, Paul tells us, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. And indeed they did receive it, but they didn't necessarily believe it. And wherein you stand. This tells us that if there is any standing, it is only in this gospel. It is not in our own selves or in the law or any creed or anything that men might conjure up. We stand only in the gospel. No man has any standing before God without his word. Continue to verse 2. By which also you are saved. It is by this same gospel. Deliverance of any kind, really, is dependent upon Christ's resurrection. That is what gave power to the Word of God, is because Jesus was raised from the dead. And so I want to notice this deliverance is conditional on these following words. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you. And so once again, I want to notice it's evident that any victory in our lives today comes directly because of God's word. And then Paul adds these words, this phrase, unless you have believed in vain. And so it means once again, lest you have believed the gospel in vain. This is why that that you would have believed in vain, not because having anything to do with your conduct, as I have said repeatedly. It would be in vain, you believed in vain, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead. Verse 3, I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And that is of course, the pattern, that is the message. And it is the message that we'll see here as follows. I want to see that Paul mentioned 10 major proofs that this gospel is true. Number one, Christ died for our sins, and you will notice it is according to the scripture. Jesus came into this world and he went to the cross in obedience to the scripture or to the word of God. He said in another place, I do always those things that please him. And indeed he did. And so he died for our sins according to the scripture. That's exactly what the word of God planned for him to do and determined and purposed for him to do. Died for our sin, verse 4. And that, number 2, he was buried. Yes, he died, and then, as it is with men, they do not leave them around. They simply bury them. They put them in the ground. He was buried. Number 3, he rose again the third day. Once again, a scriptural fact according to God's word and indeed according to reality and certain witnesses that has Paul calls on the scene to show that. So he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Number 4, he lists some of those witnesses that he had, that he brought forth to testify of this. Number 4, verse 5, he was seen as Cephas. Cephas is simply another word for Peter. And so he was seen of Peter after the resurrection. Number 5, then of the 12, that is of the 12 disciples. Verse 6, after that, number 6, he was seen of above 500 at once. And 7, the greater part of these 500 remained under the present. Some are fallen asleep, that is, some have died, some have gone by way of the grave. Verse 7, number 8, he was seen of James. Number 9, he was then seen of all the apostles. Verse 8, number 10, last of all, he was seen of me. This is Paul's testimony because he most assuredly did see Jesus after the resurrection. It was the Lord who knocked Saul of Tarsus down on the road to Damascus. And Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then it was Saul who acknowledged, Lord, what will he have me to do? And so he said, this 10th one, he was seen of me. You will notice, as one born out of due time. Now, what did Paul mean by that? He meant that he was born again, or he received Christ as his Savior before the rest of the nation. The rest of the nation of Israel is not going to receive Christ or bow to their Messiah until about 250 days before the middle of the week. And so that's why he said he was seen of me as one born out of due time. Then Paul gives this testimony of himself. I am the least of all the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle for this reason, because I persecuted the church of God, and it's said another place, and wasted it. I persecuted the church of God, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And what was he? What is he? He's God's apostle, Jesus' apostle, chief apostle for this church age. And I continue to emphasize and repeat, Paul's dominion, Paul's authority reaches down to our day, even indeed unto the coming of the Lord. And so it is so important. I've heard people say, well, I don't read anything in Scripture except that which is in red. I just want Jesus' words. Paul is the apostle for this age, and Jesus appointed him as so. And so he must take priority. His words must be heeded and observed. And of course, that's what so many, including the Corinthians, simply did not do. And so by the grace of God, I am what I am. And you'll notice his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He means I am fulfilling the purpose which God ordained for me. I am the chief apostle to the church. I am giving forth the message of the grace of God as he told me. I am speaking contrary to the ways and the deeds of the law as God has given this message unto me. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. But again, he attributes the grace of God. It wasn't me, and it isn't me who is accomplishing all of these things. It is the grace of God that is accomplishing these things, both in me and indeed through me. And that same pattern, of course, must prevail in our own lives. Paul has set the example. God set the example through him of what his message of grace is to do, both in us and through us and indeed for us. And so, yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. Therefore, in verse 11, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, and I think he's talking directly to the Corinthians, how say many among you Corinthians that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, and put a great big if there, because there is a resurrection of the dead, but Paul is just pointing out what would be true if there were no resurrection. Number one, then is Christ not risen? Of course, we know that he is. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, number two, our preaching is vain. Our preaching is based on the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. Number three, again, your faith is vain. He's repeated this a couple of times. And again, to repeat today, that faith being vain is not based anywhere near our conduct. It is based on the fact if there be no resurrection, or the possibility that there be no resurrection. So number three, your faith is also vain. Verse 15, number four, we are found false witness. Paul says, we're nothing but liars. We just lie to you. If there be no resurrection, we're found false witnesses, because we've testified of God that he did raise up Christ, whom he raised not up, notice, if the dead not rise not. If there's no such thing as resurrection of the dead, then there's no way Christ was raised up. Verse 16, number five, if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, notice the repetition, your faith is vain, because your faith depends on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Number seven, again, you are yet in your sins. You don't have any righteousness at all. You're just living in absolute sin, away from God and in darkness. Verse 18, number eight, then they also which are fallen asleep, again, he's talking about those who have died or gone away of the grave, then they are perished. And then again, he adds this in number nine, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. And so if we don't have any hope in Jesus beyond what we have right now, we're of all men most miserable, because there's nowhere to go. We're just going into a void, and that certainly is not a comforting thought. But most assuredly, we find out that all of this negativity is just that. It is negativity. It is untrue. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. This is how Paul got to this place, listing all of these things, all of these terrible things that would be true if Jesus were not raised from the dead. But then he comes back with this beautiful, positive declaration here, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And he brings it forth as an absolute scriptural and fact of reality, which it is. Now is Christ risen from the dead, and again he's become the first fruit of them that slept, meaning again that his the first fruit means more will follow, and so his resurrection guaranteed that we are going to awake from sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In Adam all die, in Christ all are going to be made alive. And that is absolutely the truth, because it is dependent not upon us, not on anything that we have done or not done. It depends on God and his matchless power and his glorious grace. All right, I think that is the message for this morning.